Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless. To help us make sure we glean a lot from the Word of God. Philippians chapter number 3, I'm going to read the first 15 verses. This is coming from the NIV translation, the New International Version. Here's what it says. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, flawless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, one version says, dung, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and the participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal, to the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God, and the word of God is already blessed. Before you take your seat, will you do me a favor? Put a smile on your face. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. There we go. Say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Good morning.
Good
to see you.
Good to see you.
Glad you're in church. This morning's sermon is keep rejoicing. Look at another neighbor. Look at another neighbor. Say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Good morning.
Good
to see you. Glad you're in church. No matter what, keep rejoicing. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of God. Keep rejoicing. Will you pray with me? Father, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily. That these your people would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and lift me, Spirit divine. Lord, prepare us to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Keep rejoicing. As I've shared, we are working through the book of Philippians. We started with the sermon called Unfinished Masterpiece. Unfinished Masterpiece. That was in chapter number one. Then we looked at how to make lemonade. How to make lemonade. Chapter number one. Chapter number two, we looked at how to win a championship. We shared that on last week. And so now we're looking at chapter number three. Keep rejoicing. Keep rejoicing. I wondered how to do the introduction to this particular sermon. I wondered how to describe what it means to keep rejoicing. I wondered how truthful I could be. I wonder if y'all were fake like you hold it. You've never really lived outside of the church. So I'm going to be a little transparent. There was a time before I was pastoring when I would hang with some people who knew about the church but just wasn't going to church. And so we would have parties. We would go to parties. Or we would go out to date parties. Let's say we would go to a date party. That's about 3 to 7 o'clock. You go to a date party. Then after the date party, you go get something to eat. And then after you do that, you go right back to the same spot that had the date party. And you would stay there from about 9 to about 2 o'clock. And they start turning the lights on and you have to leave. But because we wasn't ready for it to end, we would have to find out what else we were going to go. Now, some of y'all who came back to church, some of y'all, you would go to IHOP or something like that. But I can remember, I was hanging. His brother came in the group. He was an African brother. He was cool, Harvard educated. He said, cool brother. So he came to our group, and he knew one of the young ladies that was hanging with us, about 8 of us. And he said, hey, y'all want to go to the after party? Okay, cool. Well, at the after party, brother said, I'm going to have my driver. I don't know where it's at, but I'm going to go. I'm going to have my driver pick y'all up. Now, part of my mind begins to think at this point in time, that might have been Uber, but I didn't know then. But we walked outside, big Suburban, ready to pick us up. He had the driver sitting in there, left the seat. I mean, so we reclined. He took us to a particular area in D.C. Now, when we pulled up to the house, where the after party was, I felt unsafe. I didn't know God. What it was dark. There were no cars. But you said it was an after party. He said, no, it's cool. He got out. He walked up to the door, banged on the door. Sitting in the car looking at my friends. Like, you knew him. I don't know him. No response. Banged on the door a little bit more. No response. So again, I grew up black, but I've never been African. So he knocked on the door a little bit more. 3 minutes passes, and finally somebody opens the door. He says, okay, y'all can come on in. We got out, we walked in to where the after party was. And there was nobody there. It's 3:30 in the morning. He says, do you all want something to eat? Just let them know what you want, and they'll fix it for you. It's 3:30 in the morning. Ain't nobody else here. Where's the after party? He said, don't trip. That's cool. They'll be here. Again, I've been black. I'm used to folk being late, but I ain't never got somewhere at 3:30 in the morning and people not there. No. He said, don't worry. Just order your food. Order your food. So I order food at somebody's house. They sent us down in this little living room type area. And food comes. It's still just us. I eat. Friends eat. 4 o'clock. The door. 4:30, people knocking on the door. 4:45, people knocking on the door. All of a sudden, the after party started bumping, and it's 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and everybody is wide awake. I said, you know what? This brother know how to have an after party. We left out of there at 8 o'clock in the morning. Sun was bright and shining, and we had been to a day party, from the day party to another party, and from that, we went to an after party because we wanted to keep on rejoicing. Here is what I'm helping us to understand. It is amazing that many of us can identify with keeping the party going outside of church. But when we come to church, we don't want to keep the party going. We don't want to keep the party going at all. And Paul helps us to understand a little bit about this. Paul writes to the Philippians from a jail cell. Paul, in chapter number 3, verse 1, he says, rejoice in the Lord. That's my first point, my brothers and my sisters, to rejoice in the Lord. Share with us at the beginning of this series that this particular book is one where Paul talks about joy a lot. That's why we call the series the Summer of Joy. He mentions joy 16 times in 4 little chapters. I shared with us that we cannot confuse joy with happiness. They are different. Joy and happiness are different. Happiness comes from what happens to you. Happiness comes from what happens to you. So if something good happens, you're happy. It's a little iffy. If something bad happens, your happiness is gone. But joy, on the other hand, is based on what's going on in you. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit from Galatians chapter number 5, verses 22 and 23. Joy is something that comes from God. Paul has been talking about joy in chapter 1 and in chapter 2. But then he gets to chapter number 3 and he says to us, rejoice in the Lord. Hold up, Brother Paul, this is a little new. I understand that joy is a fruit of the Spirit and I can have it regardless of my circumstance. I understand that joy is something that happens within me. But what does it mean to rejoice? To rejoice, then, is to express the joy that's within you. It's a way of letting others know that I've got joy. I can remember, some of y'all may have seen this bit of a YouTube clip. I'm getting a little feedback. I'm not sure if I was hearing. This brother, in a little YouTube clip, he's getting married. And I don't know this brother's life. This is a YouTube clip. I don't know the person. But he's getting married. And again, I don't know as much life as YouTube clip. I don't know personally, but I don't know how many people he dated. I don't know. Maybe she was the only one who said yes. But he's at the altar, and pastor's going through the vows. Brother, something on the inside. Pastor is trying to say the vows, but the brother had something on the inside. I don't know the brother. I don't know his life. I don't know if she's the only one that says yes. But when he began to think, to me. Pastor couldn't get through his vows because his brother just started rejoicing all through the church, all by himself. And sister girl was standing there. She had great poise. Because, you know, she done spent an hour and a half getting her makeup done. And what she was not about to do is mess that up. Her hair was perfectly laid. And so what she was not about to do was mess that up. And so she stopped and she stood there and he just rejoiced. And then at some point in time, maybe something hit her. She realized, you know what? This brother didn't have to choose me. I could have been single. I could have been watching Netflix and chilling by myself. Something happened to her. And all of a sudden, she said, oh, God. And she started rejoicing because she began to think about, he began to think about what they were experiencing. This is what it means to have joy. It's a joy that you experience, like Whitfield's, when you go pick up keys for a brand new house that you have been saving for and you have been working. I don't know who the title company is, but when you're sitting there and you look at your wife and you're trying to hold together a little bit, now we're going to be civilized. Our parents are probably a little better than this. But as soon as keys hit your hand, you got joy on the inside. We know a little bit about how to rejoice. Many of us are good at rejoicing. We rejoice over games. You know, when your team is the one who finally won. Let me help us understand this. So I'm from New Orleans, and there was a time when Wynton Marsalis, I'll put it this way, Wynton Marsalis, he made a video about the difficulty of the New Orleans Saints. And in the video, he said, you know it's bad when you put a bag over your head at the game to hide yourself from yourself. It's just bad. When your team is so awful that you go knowing they're going to lose, you're just trying to figure out how much they're going to lose. It was bad. Oh, but when we went to the Super Bowl, listen, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I'm in church all the time. But when we went to the Super Bowl, and I heard just a little bit of a second line, can't nobody hold me. I was going to rejoice, and I was going to shout, and I was going to do my own second. I was in D.C. at the time by myself. I didn't need Saints fans at this point in time. I was just glad that my team won. Rolanda is from Cleveland, and I don't know if she knows LeBron. She don't know, but I know when she saw that her team
one love Lord can enter us into worship. But I want to venture to say that something happened on the inside of her. When she saw her hometown represented, she began to rejoice. We can rejoice at games. We can rejoice when we get gifts, you know, when it's the unexpected gift or the one that you really wanted that you got, or when you got more than you had expected, you know, it's when you get the card in the mail for graduation or for your birthday, and you expect $20, but you get like $400. Hey, we know how to rejoice in gifts. Then there are those who have perfected rejoicing at celebrity concerts. Beyonce was in Baltimore just the other day, and I see all kind of church folk live stream at a Beyonce concert. I saw all kind of church folk on Instagram and on Periscope. They hollered. They've been quiet the whole time in church. But they somebody else when they get to a concert. We know how to rejoice. Paul says, I don't just want you to rejoice aimlessly. You can do that. But rather, I want you to rejoice in the Lord. He's saying, I want you to be able to do what Moses did in the book of Exodus when they crossed the Red Sea, and how he began to rejoice and made up a song on the spot. He just began to rejoice. I want you to do what Deuteronomy 12:18 commands. Rejoice in the Lord and in everything he puts your hands to. I want you to do what David did when they brought the Ark of the Covenant back home. He began to rejoice so much that he couldn't even keep his clothes on. He had some joy. I want you to do what Psalm 95:2 commands. Come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise in his presence. He says, I want you to do what's in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. I want you to be able to come to church and express to the world that you've got Jesus joy. Yes. Yeah. What's interesting is that many of us don't mind expressing joy at a game. Matter of fact, we don't even need music for that. We just at the game, and we will. Our team will just come out, and we begin to holler. We don't mind rejoicing. We don't mind rejoicing at a concert because we bought the tickets and we like them anyway. And so, as soon as they come on stage, we erupt with rejoicing. We don't mind rejoicing at a party. As a matter of fact, in many of our minds, a party ain't a party unless we are there. We don't mind rejoicing at a party, but when we get into the house of the Lord, our rejoicing seems to diminish. Paul writes to help us to understand why it is that many of us have difficulty rejoicing. He starts chapter 3, verse 1 by saying, rejoice in the Lord. Paul understood that they're human just like we are, and so he doesn't just tell you to rejoice in the Lord. He then begins to show us some issues that we have with our rejoicing. After saying rejoice in the Lord, he then warns against what can diminish our rejoicing. Watch this. Verse number 2, he says, watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those manipulators of the flesh. He's telling us to watch out for the enemy. Point number 2 is to watch out for opposition. You know, watch out for. Have you ever come to church and you got in your mind, I'm a shout. I wore the right clothes. I'm a shout today. I'm gonna say something today. I'm a sing to the Lord today. But when you get there, you sit next to somebody that give you one of them looks like you better not make no noise next to me. Listen, don't bother me. I don't want you moving. You're going to do that? Go sit over there. This row here, we don't do that. We civilized. Don't take. Or have you ever been to church and you just had somebody literally ruin your experience? They look at you like you weird, like you strange. Here it is. Paul uses 3 descriptions to talk about the same group of people. I love this. The first 2 doesn't really let you know who he's talking about. He says dogs. He says dogs. He could have had several things in mind when he said dogs. Watch this. For them, in that culture, there were 2 types of dogs. There were watchdogs. Watchdogs. Watchdogs were those that were outside of the property line. They were barking people who would come across their property line. That was watchdogs. But then you had prairie dogs. Prairie dogs are garbage dogs. They're dogs that are always in some mess. They're dogs that ain't doing nothing clean, ain't doing nothing right. Paul could have meant to watch out for those kind of dogs. Now, some of y'all got people like that in your life, which you know, they gonna always protect what's theirs. Don't come across my line, you can do that. I can come into your yard, but you can't come into my yard. They them kind of watchdogs. Then you know you got the people in your phone, that's on your Facebook friend list, that are the ones that are always in the mess. My God. Paul said, watch out for dogs. He could have meant watch out for these types of dogs. But he then clarifies who he's talking about. He says, watch out for dogs. Watch out for evildoers. Watch out for people who are malicious and who are about no good. He could have meant just morally bad people, folk who don't go to church and who just doing all kind of wrong stuff. But then he adds more weight by saying those who mutilate the flesh. It's interesting. He could have been talking about people outside the church. You know, dogs, the ones that are always in some mess. He could have been talking about people who are outside the church, the ones who I can stay on my property and I can go on your property, but you can't come take me. You can't never borrow nothing from me, but I can always borrow something from you. He could have been talking about people like that outside the church. He could have been talking about evildoers who are always up to no good. You know, they don't go to church anyway. But then Paul says those who mutilate the flesh. He's now saying, I want you to watch out for folk who are in the church. He's talking about Jewish people. He's talking about Jewish converts who say, you can't do church unless I sanctify and unless I validate how you do church. Paul says, sometimes our worship is messed up because we're around people who set standards for us. And rather than us praising and worshiping God, we limit ourselves to other people's standards. He's saying the one thing that can rob your freedom to rejoice is church people who don't want you to rejoice. Church people who are just dead in their worship. Church people who would say to you, it don't take all of that. Yeah. But is there anybody here that's willing to say, if you knew like I knew what he has saved me from, if you knew like I knew how he had to reach way down to pick me up, if you knew like I knew what he had to forgive me for, if you knew like I knew how he's had to restore me, how he's put my life back together, then you would understand why I rejoice like I do. He's been too good for me not to shout. He's been too kind for me not to praise him. He's been too merciful for me not to rejoice. Paul teaches that you gotta watch out for folk who will try to steal your joy, even in church. But then, not only will people in church rob you of your willingness to rejoice, watch this. Paul bothers us a little bit. Paul says, not only will people do it, Paul says, our pride can cause us to come to church and sit like stumps on a log. He says in verses 4 through 11, your pride can become an issue. He teaches us to watch out for our pride. Many of us are okay with shouting when we identify other people who try to stop us from shouting. We rebellious. If they want to stop me, I'll shout anyway. I could have went and closed the sermon on that alone. We're fine with that. Paul didn't leave us there. Paul says, sometimes you don't give God the praise that's due his name. It ain't because of other folk. It's because of you. What do you do when you get in the way of your own rejoicing? He says, if anybody can have pride, I can. He says, the circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, tribe of Benjamin. I'm just letting you know what my resume says. Hebrew of Hebrews. I'm a Pharisee. I was the one persecuting the church. Based on the law, I was the man. I had it all. Can't none of y'all compare to me. Sometimes we rob God of his praise. Sometimes our pride hinders us. Sometimes our flesh gets in the way of our rejoicing. Sometimes we come into God's presence and we act like God ought to be glad that we are there. Sometimes our worldly success gets in the way of our worship. We begin to look down on people who express praise to God, and we wonder what's wrong with them and don't realize something is wrong with us. Paul helps us to see that when we come before God, all of our stuff doesn't matter, because all that we have is a blessing from God. Some of y'all can remember when you had to make a gourmet meal out of oodles and noodles. When you made your own seasoning, you didn't use the one they gave you in the pack. And so when you got a little something more, you just rejoice over that. Didn't take much to get you to shout. Some of y'all can remember when you would pull up your car to the gas station and all you could put was $2 in the tank. And that $2 had to get you a long way. You drive in the car and that light comes on and you ain't nowhere near where you got to be. And you begin to pray.
Yeah.
And when you finally get there, ain't no music on. There is no praise singing. Ain't nobody hooping and hollering in the sermon, but you got to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Because he got you there. Here's what's amazing. When we didn't have him, we didn't have a problem with regards. Oh, but once we got a better car, we got a little bit more money, and we got a degree or two. Well, I'm a little more refined than that. No! God is the reason that we have everything that we have. And I dare somebody to know God has blessed me. And because he has blessed me, I've got a reason to rejoice in it.
Glory. Glory.
Paul says, if anybody can let their pride block them, it's me. Brothers and sisters, we live in a time where churches are filled with people who spectate because they're not necessarily showing up in church saying, God, I need something from you. We want to worship God when we need God to give us something. But when God has blessed you, can you still praise him for simply being God in your life? Paul says, sometimes we get in our way. Then I'm out of your way. Finally, he teaches us to rejoice in the press, to rejoice in the press. Paul says, forgetting that which is behind me. I know I got a lot. I know I've accomplished a lot. I know people saw me as important. But when I get into the house of God, don't none of that matter. Because I leave all that behind me. Because I realize in the eyes of God, I still ain't nothing. And because he has blessed me with a brand new day, I will praise him anyhow. Paul is in essence saying, you don't know like I know what he has brought me from. I could have died when we had a shipwreck. I could have died when a snake bit me. I could have died in the jail cell. But because I'm still here, if he don't do nothing else for me, he's already done enough. And so I will rejoice anyhow. Watch this. He says, I strain toward the mark. I come and talk about that. An illustration of a runner in the games at the time. And I love to say this. When one strains in running, that's not when you start running. You know, when you first start, you know, you look good, your poise, your posture is all together. You know, some of y'all, you go to the gym, you ain't been there in a while, and you first start, oh yeah, I no problem. I'm good. 4 minutes in, though.
Break it down.
It's a little different. Because it takes a little bit more effort. I love it.
Yes.
Paul says, I strain, which means I've been on the journey for a little while.
Yeah.
I've had some bumps and some bruises on the journey. I've had some ups and some downs on the journey. I'm not just starting this thing. I've been running this race for quite some time, and it's been hard sometimes, and I've wanted to quit and give up, be throwing the towel sometimes. I want to give in sometimes, but it's in those moments when I want to quit that I begin to say, you got to get through this, and then I strain.
Come on.
Paul says, I can rejoice in the press. Because while other people say I ought to quit, and while my condition looks like I ought to give in, the simple fact that God lets me strength is a reason to praise His name. And so that helps us to understand, no matter what we are going through in life, we've got a reason to press past all of our accolades, all of our successes, all of our issues, and still give God the praise that's due His name. One of my favorite preachers, a man by the name of John Adolph. Adolph pastor church down in Beaumont, Texas. He has one of the most amazing stories. He says, Beaumont got thousands of members at the church. There's one lady, she's a successful attorney. She made a whole bunch of money. She won the big tithes in the church and stuff. She pulls up with her nice Mercedes. I mean, she got the S55. She got the nice. Say this, it's always clean. She got the black ice kind of on the tie, shining. She step out, and everybody knows her shoes cost more than your whole outfit. She got it like that. She bought. She coming to church. Praise team is up singing a little bit. Then somebody starts to read scripture. Sister who drove up in a Mercedes S-Class, big body, nice. Shiny wheels. Got on an outfit that's cost more than your shoes. Got on more than your whole outfit. Somebody begins to read scripture just casually. And the sister jumps up. Takes off running around the church. Ain't nobody shouting. Ain't nobody clapping. She just sit down. Sunday comes. Another week. She gets in the church. And at this point in time, they may be doing the announcements. Jumps up. Takes off running around. She's been doing it for a while. He said, I'm gonna ask her why she does that. Because, you know, she's civilized. You know, you don't think someone who's accomplished as much as she's accomplished would just take off running around the church. And so he said, I talked to her one day and I said, why did you jump up and run around the church at the wrong time? It ain't even that you just do it. It ain't even, I mean, the hammer ain't playing. Ain't nobody with no tambourine. Right. None of that going on. We ain't got no special guest artists. I mean, you're doing the announcements, and when somebody's reading scripture, you just take off running right before we do offering. You just, at random times, why do you just take off running? She said, Pastor, I'm glad you asked. She said, yes, I've accomplished a lot of stuff, and God has blessed me to do that. Yes, I've got some financial resources, and God has blessed me with that. You see the nice car I got out there. S-Class, love the car, good car. That's not the first one. I had another one just like it, but what happened was, one day, 18-wheeler hit me.
Come on with it.
When I was laying in the hospital bed, and I could not feel my legs. I knew I had a lot of stuff. I knew I had accomplished a lot, and I knew I had a lot of money, but when I couldn't, and I began to look up to God and I said, God, if you can just let me feel my legs again, every time I come into church, I will run in. And so while she got a lot of stuff, she had made up in her mind, I will let people on my pride stop me from praising and rejoicing in the name of the Lord who has made a way for me. And is there anybody that will say that is my testimony? He has picked me up and he has turn me around. He's placed my feet on solid ground, and I will rejoice because he's been there to me.
Glory.
Now, men, to my
glory. Glory.
Keep on rejoicing. Don't let people know your pride. Steal the joy that's due to God.
Hallelujah.
Let's pray.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we thank you that you've given us the ability to rejoice. Lord, we thank you that you've given us reason to rejoice. The truth is, we don't deserve all that you've already blessed us with. If you never do anything else, Lord God, you've already done way too much for us. We have reason to rejoice every day of our life. We thank you for that. Lord God, I pray now that for somebody under the sound of my voice that may not know you in the pardoning of their sin,
and never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They had to realize that the reason we can rejoice is because no matter what we go through in life, you sent Jesus to save us. It doesn't matter what our immediate condition looks like. In the end, we still win because you sent Jesus to save us. It doesn't matter what we are going through because in the end, you still sent Jesus to save us. Lord God, somebody right now may need to shock the devil to rejoice even while going through hell because they realize that you sent Jesus to save us. Lord God, I pray right now for somebody that may not know you, of their sin. They may have never confessed Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray right now that you would touch their mind, that you would touch their heart, that you would draw them closer to you. This is indeed our prayer. Maybe there's someone here right now. You've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. There's a sermon by one of my other favorite preachers. He's an older preacher, English preacher, Charles Spurgeon. He tells a story of walking through town one day with a little boy. There was a man across the street. He was just dancing. Dancing. He was running up and down the street, just dancing, just shouting, just making a scene. He was just loud. The boy said, Pastor Spurgeon, Reverend, why is this man doing this? Is he drunk? Is he on something? What's wrong with him? Spurgeon. The young man said, no, young man. That gentleman was in prison. I visited him several times in prison, and he thought he would die in prison, but he got out today, and because he got out of prison, he's shouting. Because he got out of a difficult situation that should have locked him in, he should have died there, he's shouting, he's rejoicing. My brothers, my sisters, I want you to know that Jesus Christ stands at the door of your prison in life, and he's ready to let you out, for you to rejoice, letting the world know, I should have died in sin, but Jesus has freed me. You hear my brother, my sister, you've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. The same kind of rejoicing that the man did in Charles Spurgeon's story, you can have the same kind of rejoicing in your own life. It don't have to be a story you heard. It can be one that you live when you Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior. If you're here and you've never accepted Christ, we invite you to do that today. Here at Uplift, we make it very easy. You don't even have to walk down to give me your hand. You can make a confession of faith right where you are standing because we want you to connect with God. We pray a collective prayer because we want you to know that you're not even in this journey by yourself. There's brothers and sisters to your left, to your right, in front of you, behind you, to let you know that we are here with you on this journey. And when the days difficult. And if you wonder where you're going to throw in the towel, we'll be the ones to say to you, no, you're going to keep on straining and you're going to praise through the strain because we're in this with you. We invite you to pray a collective prayer with us by simply repeating after me. Say, dear Lord, I admit that I am a sinner. I admit that I've fallen short. I admit that I've messed up. But I accept that you sent Jesus to die for me. I accept that you raised him on the third day to save me. And because of that, I am saved. I am saved. I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's rejoice. Somebody may have made a confession of faith for the first time. Somebody may have promised to give their life to Jesus Christ. And for that, we rejoice. And we celebrate. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of